very much. I address some new poems in English. At the seaside, a seagull, a wave of the sea, a wave of sand, on the beach two bodies are looking for the summer out. On title, a water speed in the shadows of the night, between despair and silence the trees breathe. Mornings, I throw stones on the waves, the Danube River flows, always flows. I throw stones, maybe I miss you, and maybe you come with water like silver fish. Irish autumn, late autumn monotony, the gentle fall of the leaves in the semi-dark light, the lanterns light up. Francisca, she has in her eyes something from a long time ago, in the cheeks rainbows appear. Let's talk. Tell me about you, my love, about silence, about flight. Let me look at you to see you of words. Take me, my love, with you.
Thanks a lot. Next we have Margaret Origen.
This is a haiku. A horizontal still can have a positive thrill. Let it flutter in.
Thank you. Next we have Owen Hurley.
Plane blinds dim, stand stiff and dry like walls of clay. The world stays still and silent, but for the hiss of a heavy light bus and the zip of tire on tarmac far away. While smoke slips from my lips, casting a shifting grey. Plane blinds dim, stand stiff and dry like walls of clay. Hide a thousand minds in slumber, but not mine, for it hides a thousand thoughts of you. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Owen. Next we have Catherine Roden, please.
This poem's called The Boss. Her hair was a time war, lost between 1965 and 1973. Her skin, the dry Sahara, complete with footprints. Her eyebrows, two boy racers screeching to the top of Knocknaheeny. Her eyes, two growling kittens. Her nose, a rook's nest. And her ears were twitching goblins who heard everything. Her lips were wine gums, her teeth my old piano, chipped and decaying. And when she spoke, her tongue was a face cloth that rasped across my face. Like, her arms were cobra, writhing cobras, adorned with Egyptian headdress, widely issuing instructions about filing, again and again and again, until one day I smiled and said, only one more week, I'll be back in UCC.
Thanks, please.
Olive groves. At day's end, a world away, the scent of bougainvillea takes your breath, and red hibiscus may arrest you with its saucy display. But inquietude draws me back once more to olive groves, as to old friends. The sage grey trunks undulate like coral snakes. Their slender leaves in shades of silver jade lend to time a sense of loss that makes me stricken with a sadness not my own. What resonance resides here with these trees that occupy my being with such familiar, unfamiliar ease?
Chairs, Claire. Thanks, please.
Parting. We have to say goodbye to all that, to the black and white kitten just now staring on the lawn, to friends and relations on weekend vacations who arrived laden down or empty-handed, to the emergency appeal, to winter soups and their appeal, to buckets of flowers demanding help, to sheltering umbrellas and to pagodas, to Panama hat and the deer stoker, to the warm radiator and the turf fire, to desires and what should be desiderated, to every Byzantine church in the land of this wonderful country of ours.
Mary O'Connell, next, please.
Thanks, Kieran. When I went to Finchorn, I met this waif called Lena, and I've written this poem about her. It was a long time ago. Just a mention of Suma. It's Suma is a Finnish under god of frightening, you know, with the jaws open to swallow you in the afterlife. So that comes into Lena, a child of the northern woods, now morphed to an adult form, finds her only consolation in the Kalevala sagas. Her spare and wiry frame sways like a sapling spruce in a bleak Finnish landscape, outcrop of smothered dreams. Shivering and uncared for, she waits, hoping that someone might release her from the ice of a marooned existence. Those who set out to try stumble headlong into fissures drilled by hot springs of a pain that spewed up from her past. To sidestep Suma's mouth, she firmly shuts her own, letting her thoughts and talents be sluiced by her frantic pen. The animals she draws, unchained from their hidden lair, appear in vibrant colours as they pad onto the page. She has tamed them for our trust, sent them out like envoys, wishing their furry playfulness might dismantle our dismay. Alone in her Nordic tundra, she watches for skies to clear. Meanwhile, the drifts drive deeper, sealing her off from ease.
Amen. with Cedric Bicorne.
The parterre of white daffodils stands, bright open mouth, punctuating the ground like the wind did the silence. We've been here before. We came here on our first date. They took credit for the fragrant lilac nearby, putting on an unprecedented show. Everything was nascent, from the insect to the summer, the air fresh, full of waking life. The daffodils danced slowly in pace. Then the most beautiful of them entered my vision. You stole my heart, and I surrendered to you. We kept dancing until the daffodils had disappeared, and I was lost, wounded and shocked. She had screamed my mistake, and I forgot her voice, but I remember you. I have missed you ever since, so today I'll see you again. The daffodils faced the sun, silent mouth singing in choir. The car is still here, surely she's here too. The daisy ring on my finger is for her. I offer this last scarlet flower among the daffodils, all of me. It's for you.
And next we have Patrice Walsh, please.
So I don't know how many of you come across the phrase boredom reduction strategies. No.
What phrase?
Boredom reduction strategies. But it's on its way to standard agnology textbook, you know, and my all these megalithic cairns, they're a kind of the upshot was that they constructed these structures because they had no they had too much time in their hands. They say it's more hilarious than it sounds. Okay, boredom reduction strategies. Seated through the euphoric din, rescinding first love is best attempted. False beliefs turn a corner on Saturday, playing scrum at expense sunshine. This unholy following punctuates a drink, clown to value over candlelight. Gilding the sights incessantly is a plight, abandoning the necessary follows for sanity. Certainly incredible Jew, scum permitting, light rising to call death at every turn. Alcoholic misgivings at the sense of humour, having eaten the allowance, treating the spot. Myth at circumstance, the death over time, the proper order not able to do their job. Overshot ambition, now laughed at, is known. The voice unspoken, quietened by preferment. The incandescent pint, man seeing dog, regretting a certain date, poison destination, separating pleasantries, worse form than most. Counter service, holy God likens it creation. No need for repeat performance, get the picture. Crime of difference, indifference, walking to contempt. Constraint to size, a heartfelt endeavour. Asking for home from a battered cake. Thanks.
Thanks, Lachers. Thank you, Kathy Ryan.
Leonardo da Vinci. This is the shape of curiosity, the light and dark of blood-dripped life force. In, out, up, down, left, wheel center, drip the pierce of God, spurts through breath and lines and curves that are not lines and curves at all. I will find the shape of life force. the vessels and lines of containing for a brief moment what can't be contained. I will press hard and travel light, sneaking through, breaking through the architecture of light and bones, skin and breath. I will find the measure of infinity, the measure of beauty that I have no idea how to measure. I will slant the direction of my mind, here, there, everywhere, to find the mystery of the body. I will dip my pen and let it run the list of what I find. Let it guide my daring to color, my what ifs. I will dare to say, this is if. In all of this unknown, I will mix what I know is real.
It's luck, I think. An O'Connell next, please.
Sometimes you get a bang on the head or a brain insult or a big dose of chemotherapy, you can get a thing called aphasia, where you mix up all your words to an unintended effect. And it's quite discombobulating if your bread and butter is words. Scrabbled eggs. All my words ran away to join the circus and returned disheveled with pan stick traces on their faces. I can no longer tell them apart. A phrase, a phase, phased, aphasia. My friend shepherds them carefully. They cluster around her, clamoring to have the right shoes put the right way around on the right feet. Obtuse, obfuscate, obvious, oblivious. She deduces the lawnmower from my helicopter. Accepts more methylated spirit on pancakes. Agrees the brother's girlfriend is a bit of a grave digger. Clarifies that the baby was baptized, not barbecued. Compulsion, conviction, conversion, convulsion. While I nurse my throbbing head and string the beads dementedly together, she distills meaning from my litany of sorrowful mysteries. Others, don't even try. Repeat, rescind, reject the clatter of my beads on their window panes. Snap, I don't do subtitles. And all my words take fright and coal scuttle right on black to the surface.
Could be anything if there's anything around. Or could be. It's like the first letter looks like three. Ethan?
Zohar.
Zohar. Zohar. Got there again. His name is three now.
Six, three.
Whispers of change. A gentle blow of love saying, move on, my dear. It's time to awake and leap forward. Your destiny awaits. Love is all there is beneath the data. When we sit in silence, it carries us home. To reach within love's silence is to bathe in joy. For so long, I've been hiding away.
Sorry about all the mess-ups of your name. Next we have this evening's five-word challenge winner, Philip Spillan. So I had my interesting experience working in the HSE as an IT assistant, thank goodness. It was interesting. That's the hospital, by the way, the CUH. It was interesting. I'm finishing up this week. And
I learnt a lot. Just walking among the corridors and I noticed a lot of things going on, and also I got together with a very special individual as well at the same time, who was also a doctor, so I had a very interesting education in the health service. Very interesting. But of course it's all kind of like ended in this week. It's all kind of piled on top of each other, how both things kind of like just ended at the same time. It was very interesting, very challenging. And this poem is kind of in the works about it, and kind of revolving in it. And I got a lot of actually great creativity for working in the hospital. It was fascinating. I was like writing the whole time while I was there. I was supposed to be like fixing computers. I was actually writing. Don't tell anyone. Especially not the doctors or the IT. I revealed so many things here, everybody. Anyway, I better jump to the poem. It's called The Painted Lady, which is a species of butterfly, which I have seen flutter around the hospital ward. I'm serious. Excellent, Nicole, you shall have done. The Painted Lady lands among delicate, orchid heart. Velvet touch illustrates wet watercolor drops. Paints hospital among the make-believe echoes. Sculptured, tissued orchids. Painted butterfly among the surreal, echoing wards of the hospital. A painted lady, minimal but important, will always be special to me.
Thanks a lot. Dan Johnson, next.
There was a wall. In the house on Moonhaw Road, there was a wall. Sorry. In the house on Moonhaw Road, there was a room with a wall that was covered in pictures. No frame was the same, and the faces that fit inside the right angles smiled, posed, or tried to appear nonchalant in the camera's examining gaze. They were arranged in no particular order, yet placed with care. A round of Tetris, or a mosaic of a full hand of generations. Faces who stood at mass, painted flowers, drew Yogi Bear, smoked, drank, taught, coached, shouldered a rifle, died early, lived long. The intricate latticework of a bridal dress, the somber chill of suits seen in gray, flowers on a blouse for 100 years. It was all in the in-between room, everyone always coming or going from one part of the house to the other. But on the last day, I stopped, lingering there, looking at them, never again to be arranged the same way. So I stood before all of the eyes and counted them, all their lives, losing myself in one pair, then another, and another, until things were packed away at last.
Thanks a lot, Dan.
This poem is for Constantine, who is our first contributor to the open mic tonight. He told me outside that after 2 years of temporary accommodation, he now has a home on the Mount Zion Road. Yeah, it's the first story of that nature that I've heard, usually the other direction, so too many more stories like that. This is called The Manifestation of a Situation. You're saying that money is more important than people, and that's not what we're saying. We're saying, thinking, assuming everyone else is thinking the same, that it's not. It approaches mid-December. You're saying we have to be out the gap by 9 Jan. We're saying what happens after the gap. Where do you skate to? When you get a blood nose at the price of gas, and hear you blow your own trumpet and crack your own laughs. I'm 25, working and dead clear, haven't missed a week's rent since I got here. Yet you say it's go time at HQ. Bodies make way for the money to move hands, might sell within 3 months. And if I for one took my cue as the law would have me do, and hope to find shelter on the streets, leave a building empty just to have the world tempt me into hunger uppers, downers, violence, ill health and crime. And I hold no weather reports, but say February hit hard again. Celsius dipped on the stock exchange and I died of exposure. I hope there's an oil picture painted of you thrusting a knife into my back, your hand in my pocket, your initials on the charges when they're pressed. You are saying it's okay for any one of us to die today. You live it out and breathe it in. And of course about it. Clench fists and shout hoarse without it. Take it with your title. In misty whispers to your friends, distasteful jokes and brown paper envelopes. You lock eyes with ground dwellers as you climb a ladder, see them fade smaller and laugh. And praise be to the genius who said, let's let a load of landlords decide the rules for landlords. Same days he dreamt up that bankers regulate the banks. And I'm off for leaving who's with me. When all your children say, I'm off for leaving who's with me. And all your teachers say, I'm off for leaving who's with me. And all your nurses say, I'm up for leaving who's with me. And all your workers say, I'm leaving who's with me. I cannot, will not pay to stop my basic needs being stripped away. We were raw with flesh and bone and you were loyal to clay. You won't be there to watch me find a new day. When all your young have left you and your tap drips to a beat, and quiet creaks all about the house, you waste oil to heat. And your vacant stare falls upon the shadows at your feet, when the cold truth hits you that your whole life was a lie, I hope you have the decency to cry.
This is just a reflection on the title because I don't know what it is. On this Fluchtlaute, on this soggy bottom night, dark and black, I cheer myself, I think, of Fiegel, a village heaving in the heat of the sun, a ribbon of cars amid the cargo, of ardent fiddlers, their delight tucked beneath their oxter. She leave her lucre and dustles in each rustles in each step,
slides and coats, vodkas, reeling by, they sing at Pepper's Bar while we sit and pluck and strum. But then, on the soggy bottom night, dark and black, she spoke of Jean. They said they thought she heard voices and the madness of her calling. And there are voices that you hear that are mine. There are places that you visit in dark times. Just celebrate a rare and special mind. To me resonates your shining. Listen to your own voice, it's resolute and true. Don't be dampened out or drowned out by the crowd. We all have our foibles, that's for sure. Despite our cracks and fault lines, we prevail to endure. Jeanne d'Arc, the sparks light up the dark, the maid of Orleans. You learned and learned to sign your name. Chain mail undone and cleaved to stake, the child warrior you fought for God and state. Called to do it for him then, and now in Rennes, called back to him again. In a pyre, back to where you, to whence you came. In gold, purified in flame, and we still hear your voice. Ave courage, it speaks. Agus Brahan, unfound us in Sprach Arish.
Thanks a lot, Max. And thanks a lot to everyone who contributed to the open mic. A huge thanks to the Long Valley for having us here. We're going to head over to Mainz. So you're just going to head over there anyway, if you'd like to continue the evening and digest some of that. Before we go, can we get a huge round of applause for Claire McCullough and the people?